Hi there, and welcome to Canine Conversations with Jo, the podcast for you and your dog. Each of my episodes will be filled with hints and tips for training your dog in a fun, friendly, and easy way. So don't forget to subscribe, and if you have any questions, then please do get in touch via my website, which is www.paws-itivity.co.uk. Hi there. Today's podcast is about jumping up and overexcitement, as these came up as the two biggest problems everybody's struggling with at the moment. I was hoping that the session would only be for about half an hour, but we got so involved it does go on for over an hour. So there is plenty of information, hints and tips, and some real life problems that we discuss along the way. So do enjoy. And if you need any help, then don't forget to get in touch.
So like jumping up and overexcitement, and they were at the top of that poll that I said, what did everybody want to look at? And actually, to be honest, they kind of jumping up and overexcitement, although they were both at the top, they fall under the same banner. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to combine the two because they come down to over arousal. At the bottom line of it, they're overexcited, they're over aroused, they're going to jump up, they're going to say hello, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it all comes down to this whole level of over arousal and over excitement. And what we need to teach our puppies, do you all have puppies or are there some people with older dogs in here? I've got the chat button if you don't want to talk, if anybody wants to put a chat in there. But if you are you all puppies? 1 year old cockapoo, oh dear, cockapoo. Good luck.
Mine's almost a 1 year old Labrador as well.
1 year old Labrador, okie dokie, jolly good. So we're And most of you, aside from puppies, is it teenagers then? 3 months old, 16 months old. Oh, another cockapoo. Yeah. I still want to bring you all doodle school. So, you know, if I can find the time, doodle school is still on my to-do list. So, yeah, I'll get that to you at some point. Definitely. Oh, the doodles. A 7 month old cockapoo. Yeah. Okay. Who hasn't got a cockapoo? let's go with, or who hasn't got a doodle? So, okie dokie. So, you're all relatively, to a certain extent, you're not all 7 year old dogs or anything like that. We're all relatively young dogs. So, what you've got to remember is those of you that may have a 14 week old puppy or a 14 month old puppy. The 14-month-old puppy has been practicing a behaviour for longer than the 14-week-old puppy. So the longer a behaviour has been being practised, the longer it's going to take to fix. So long as you keep that in mind, you might see somebody suddenly fixing their problem within a week or two, and you've still got this bouncing bonkers cockapoo next to you. It's just going to take longer. And the trick to any training with any dog is consistency. So no matter who is involved with your puppy, your dog, whoever it is, you've all got to do exactly the same thing. So whether, you know, it's mums and dads and kids, you've got mums, dads, kids, dog walker, fun aunt, nan and granddad, etc. Now, I know we're a bit sort of restricted on who may be involved with your dog at the moment to an extent, but anybody that's going to be involved with your dog, you must do the same behaviour. You must stick to the rules. Those of you or those people that you know are not going to stick to the rules, you can't be around the dog. You're banned. Simple as that. You're banned. I've seen that face there. You. Are you banned? Is she trouble? It's trouble. Right. That one there. Got you. Right. Okay. You're banned because anybody that has maybe watched some of my webinars before, when a dog gets reward just once, or twice for doing a behaviour that you don't want. So it's generally, you watching you, it's going to be you or it's dads that like to roll around and rough and tumble on the floor and things like that. And we got another guilty party. So there's always a theme, not just cockapoos. It's not, there's always a theme of those that are just as excitable as their dogs, which makes things just a little bit tougher. So if you want to change your dog's behavior, if you really, really, really want to change it, you've got to change and make sure that you're consistent. Say, right, I mustn't do that until I've got a better behavior sorted. it's not necessarily forever, but if you're fed up with your puppy biting your ears or your hair or something like that, get up off the floor. Yeah, okay, it's not rocket science. If you always think, what's in it for dog? What's in it for my puppy? Your dog is only going to be doing a behavior because on some level they are being rewarded. And it might not be something physical, like you might be giving them a treat. Yes, that's a nice reward, but you think of all the other ways that your dog is being rewarded. So just eye contact is a reward because you're giving them their attention. Okay, smiling at them, giggling, if they're being naughty and you giggle at them. Okay, I bet there's a few of you here that when they see the puppy doing something naughty and you giggle, your dog's like that as well. So if you're laughing at your puppy or anything like that, they're going to still be enjoying it. If you're saying, no, no, down, off, no, they don't care. They're just your own personal squeaky toy. So that's not going to do any good because that's also just going to reward your dog. So if you see a behavior that you don't like, you've got to remember what's in it for dog. Why are they doing this behavior? And that's the key. Why? What's in it for dog? And if you could think, well, hang on a minute, because I'm flapping my hand about, what are you going to do? Hands out the way, turn your back. But that's only the one side of the coin. And this is where people then fail with their training. Is they might hear, oh, ignore a behavior. If you don't want a behavior, just ignore it. It's only one side of the coin. What you've got to do is remember, you've got to then reward a behavior that you do want. So if your dog's jumping up, getting overexcited, if we teach them a consequence to an unwanted behavior, so they're jumping up, they're getting a bit overexcited, turn around, eyes up, arms up, look away. Because we physically, at that point, there's no way we can reward our dog, not even with eye contact, because we're not looking at them. We are just completely on a different plane of existence. But what you've got to remember, as soon as your puppy or your dog is doing something that you would rather they were doing, i.e. bum on floor or they've gone off doing something else, you can say, just nice and calmly, good pup. That's nice. I'll acknowledge you now. Good pup. Because when they're jumping up and over aroused, we don't want to add any more excitement. We don't want to throw any toys. We don't want more excitement to come into this game. We just want to acknowledge that, hey, we'll give you a little bit of our attention. That's nice. Clever. Good. I've got my invisible dog here. So well behaved. This dog is just amazing. Good. Okay. So if you're always thinking, one, we've all got to be consistent. Two, what's in it for dog? You're going to be able to deal with a lot of problems that you might come across. But of course, what we need to then think about is, while we're ignoring these behaviors we don't want, what can we reward our dogs for instead? So this is what you want to be doing instead. There's going to be two really, really, really simple behaviors that I want you to think about training your dog. And this is going to apply for jumping up and overexcitement. Now, if you always think about how you can flip the behavior into an opposite, so this is what we call an incompatible behavior. But if your dog is jumping up and going crazy, what's the opposite to that? Well, sitting down or laying down and being still. So what we want to teach our dogs is, instead of jumping up being a valuable and rewarding behavior, that a sit or a down will actually get them more attention. So whether you've taught a sit or not already doesn't matter. I don't want you to keep going sit, no point. You're wasting your breath. They just go, "Wah, I love you, mummy." Now, there's no point. But what we want you to do is, when you just happen to naturally see your dog in a sit, say, "Good, very nice." If they get up out of that sit, turn away again. If you happen to have a treat on you, by all means, you can slip it to them. Certainly don't get a bouncy ball and throw it across the room, because what do? They get up out of the sit. So we want to reward them for staying in that position. And we're not going to stay or anything like that. We are just going to continue building value in sitting still. So don't tell them to sit. If they just happen to be sitting, tell them good. Give them a cookie in position. If I was sat here in my office and Jaffa cakes kept falling from the sky, am I going to move? Okay, pancake days. Actually, I'll make it themed. If pancakes kept falling from the sky right now, would I move? No. So you can pretty much be sure that if you then said to me, Joe, there's Jaffa cakes over there, good girl, I'd get up and go and look for the Jaffa cakes. Now, if you say to me, Joe, you've been really good and Gary Barlow's on the other side of that door, do you think I'm going to sit still? No. So you've got to work on behaviour so that no matter what's going on around you, your puppy and your dog know that actually, no, I'm going to stay right here. I'm up because I'm going to place my bets that if I stay here, Gary Barlow will come to me with Jaffa cakes and pancakes. So it's just about building up value in really simple, easy behaviours. So working on incompatible behaviours. So we're jumping up, sits and downs, because they can't jump up if they're in a sit or a down. Now, some cockapoos get a bit sensitive and don't like to lay down in the squish. Some do, some are complete water mud babies. So one of my dogs doesn't like to sit on wet grass. It makes his bottom cold. He doesn't like it. So I know that there's no point in asking him for a sit because I'm actually kind of punishing him. So I actually have him just stand, and he's got to stand. So if your puppy and dog doesn't like sitting in soggy weather, just use another one that's maybe a stand, something that you know that they can cope with, or maybe even, you know, go where you teach them to, you know, just climb on a little log or something like that, so that they know that if I stand here and look pretty, I have a photo taken and I get a cookie, something similar. So you work with your dog. So that's when it comes to jumping up. So if your dog's jumping up, you're going to turn your back, arms up, eyes up, and walk away. So your dog learns that the consequence for jumping up is you go away. If anybody wants to talk to your dog and they're not sitting down, they can't talk to your dog. Simple as that. Because if whether you're out and about on a lead or it's somebody coming to that one day, coming to the house or anything like that, if your dog can practice jumping up just once, it will make the jumping up behavior stronger. Absolutely. Just takes that one time. And you'll be able to backtrack again and retrain, but it's that one time. And if anybody's been on my other webinars, and has anybody heard me mention my fruit machine? No. Anybody come on Ban the Bark? No. So if you think of, now you're too young for this, you, but it's gambling. Okay, you know those one-arm bandit ching-ching machines and scratch cards? Now, they are what's called, I get a little bit geeky, but that you're not always going to win. OK, it's just random when you're going to get rewarded from putting your money in the slot machine or scratching a card. But that little bit of hope, that maybe this time it will pay out, keeps you potentially buying another scratch card or putting another 20p in the slot machine. So that's the same. That's why you have to be consistent with your dog training, because if you let them get rewarded for jumping up once, they're just going to have that hope that they'll get rewarded again. So they'll just keep carrying on. And what you'll actually do is when you've got a behavior that's on this random rate of, you know, maybe this time, maybe this time, maybe this time, you actually make a behavior so strong it's really hard to get rid of, which is why it's really, really, really important. I'm not just saying you've all got to be consistent just to be one of those really pain in the bum teachers saying, you've got to do it this way. I'm telling you for scientific reasons that if you don't, that behavior is actually only going to get stronger. So yes, we're only human. We are going to have little slip ups. But if you just think, oh my gosh, no, I've messed that up, just go and do some practice again, reinforcing your sit or your down. So you can say, no, it is this. I was just human and I had a mad moment because, you know, I just won £5 on my scratch card. So I got excited and you jumped up with me. But that's how you've got to look at it. So hopefully that makes sense as to why you must be consistent and everybody involved in your dog must be consistent. So that's anyone in the family, anybody that's coming over, anybody that walks the dog, because if they allow it, it will continue. That's the absolute bottom line. And if your dog's getting rewarded, and remember, this is anything that your dog sees as a reward. So that doesn't have to just be treats. It could be you know, your eye contact, a stroke. It could be the fact you're just pushing them down because you're getting their attention. They're getting your attention. So that's what I mean. It's what's in it for dog. What are they getting? So if a behavior is continuing, they're getting something. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I was just wondering that the other problem we have with our dog is jumping up when we're out on walks. So I kind of think it gets better. Then all of a sudden she jumps up. It's like a nightmare, the muddiest time, and then someone in a white pair of trousers or something. It's just because then that person, sometimes they're or sometimes they're friendly to her. How do you what do you do then?
So if one, you get an excellent recall. If you know you can't recall your dog off that person, get it on the lead before that person gets too close. If you know that you've got a good enough recall and you can step to the side of the path and keep your dog in a sit and feed good pup, then you're going to be fine, because your dog's going to say, no, hang on a minute, I'm going to stay here with mum, because, yeah, you might be fun. You might normally give me a treat, which case also don't let any strangers give your dog a treat. Okay, that's a whole different story. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's no need for other people to give your dog a biscuit. No need. Dogs like attention. They don't need biscuits. Anyway, side note. Because again, if they can practice it that one time. Oh, no, it doesn't apply when I'm at the woods and they're wearing white trousers. That's when I'm allowed to. Yeah, I go now. So it's the same as when we, some people say, oh, no, the dog can get on the sofa, but not when Aunt Mabel's over. Don't have Aunt Mabel over. Simple as that. Most people would probably be happy with that. Sorry, Mabel, you can't come over. So if you don't think you can get your dog back from that recall to stop them going and jumping up that person on the walk, lead into the side. So mine pretty much, I'm usually out with 4 or 5 dogs. So if I know I kind of do this as a job or a passion. It's not my job, it's my passion. I get very little time to train my own dogs. So if you ever see me out with my dogs, Ali, you've seen me out with my dogs. They're not my dogs. I'm just, they're not mine. But I can generally, to a certain extent, if I'm at the forest and the horses are coming along or anything like that, I can step to the side of the track. I don't need to get them on the lead, because I know that actually if I'm just going pup, and they will be generally sitting there waiting. And what I will do is I'll just give them their name, Dexter, Cookie, Alan, Cookie, Biggs, and I just keep it random, so they never know which one's going to get it first or last, and who's going to be next, and somebody might get 3 in a go, and it's just random, so that they've got that hope. Is it me next? And you could have an army of Gary Barlows walking behind them, and they, at that point, they don't care. So that's how I stop mine, to a certain extent, jumping up at anybody. Now, none of mine should jump up. It's one thing. This is where I get naughty trainer. I let them jump up at me. I like it. I like it. So I know that others don't. So I try to, when somebody's passing, I try and keep them with me. But if I think, oh my gosh, no, that's their best friend, they know them, then I know I'm in trouble. But more often than not, unless they've really, somebody's trying to give them a biscuit, they should be sitting on their bums on the ground. But like I say, we're not infallible, but so long as you're reinforcing the behavior, you want more to keep it there. So working on that recall. So if you can get to the side and you can do your, I think I've done a recall one. And if you watch that one on YouTube, that's got a hand touch in it as well. So if you can do,
I was just going to say, we've done that one with you. The other problem, we have a problem with it. It's I can keep it to the side of this dog. It's other dogs. I struggle.
Yeah, so until you've got that under control, back on the lead. Don't let her fail. If you let your dog, if your dog can do it, it will continue. So my youngest is just coming up 14 months. And he's a lockdown 1.0 puppy. Okay, now he has got issues. You hear him coming before you even know he's there. He screams, he charges. He's what's called a frustrated greeter, because he was so used to people going away from, you know, first lockdown where everybody was just like, oh, plague. And you'd cross the street and nobody went near anybody. So my puppy learned from kind of day one, because he was allowed out the day of the first lockdown, he learned that people go away from me. But of course, that's not the case anymore. People now come towards him. and he can't hack that. He's like, I don't get it. And he's a friendly little chap, but he doesn't understand that he's now allowed to say hello. So he will run up barking at people. And he sounds like he's about to put them on the ground and take them out. But of course, I can't let him practice that behavior because it will continue. So as much as it breaks my heart, he has to stay on the lead to go for a walk now, because I know that if he can do it that once and continue, and as much as I've been trying over the last 9 months to get him out of this since August, maybe since we were all allowed kind of out again a bit, it's not working because he's built up such this habit that, no, you're not supposed to be coming at me. You're supposed to be going that way. I'm supposed to follow you. You're supposed to be away from me. So although he's at the wood for, I'll go out there for about 2 hours. So he's getting plenty of exercise, but I don't let him off the lead, because even if I do for that one moment, I've tried it a couple of times, you know, in the deep depths, if anybody's local and goes to St. Leonard's, in the deep depths bits where you generally only get the crazy people like me and some of the cyclists, you just know that if I take him off that lead for that one moment, another crazy person is going to come along that you never see in these depths of the woods. And that happened about 2 weeks ago. And I thought, that's it. I can't, you know, it's always on a corner, isn't it? And just like, that's it. So, of course, he's done his little charge. He's like, right, well, you've got to stay on the lead until I can really work you through this, that when you see somebody coming towards you, you actually come and sit with me. So that's what I'm retraining him now, that when he sees somebody comes towards me, coming towards him, he actually comes to me and sits. So we've been working on that the last couple of weeks. So that's another bit of a digression. That's more of a behavioural thing. But if you take things way back to basics, like real basics, like your sits, your downs and your hand touches. And what I'll add in as well is I'll talk about the settle in a minute. You don't need any real fancy behaviours. It's not about having a real fancy behaviour to fix something. It's about having really, really, really good basic behaviours. So although I may have some crazy dogs that like to run around, I mean, they're terrier crosses, so they're always going to be mouthy, but they've all got a really good recall. So I know that if I call them, no matter kind of what's going on, even if it's deer and horses, I know they're actually going to come back. So for me, the big ones are recall, so that I know that if I think there's trouble, I need to get you back, I've got them, and I can get them on the lead. So again, at St. Leonard's, are you all Horsham based? Do you all know St. Leonard's? Yeah. I was up at St. Leonard's yesterday and suddenly there was all the tractor. Now, all my years, I've been up that wood since I was 12 or something. And I have never, ever, ever seen any heavy duty machinery up there at all. And there was a tractor up there and I was like, what? This is not normal. But of course I had to just detour. But I knew that suddenly at this last minute, when there's this great big tractor with its blades doing to cut all of this, the brambles and things down, I knew that I didn't need to worry about my dogs. I knew that I'd be able to get them back straight away. Alan was already on the lead. Alan doesn't come off the lead. But I know if there's a situation that I think, do you know what, actually, I think my dogs may fail there. So, for instance, say it hadn't been a tractor, say it had been a load of more barking dogs and they all had stake around their necks or something like that. Something really interesting. I know that the closer I get to that exciting thing, the harder it's going to be to pull them off. So, for instance, if you say to me, Joe, Gary Barlow's in Crawley right now, but you can only go there if you walk. Okay, right. Okay, Joe, well, actually, Gary Barlow's now in Horsham Town Centre, but you can only go there if you can walk. Well, okay. He's now in Edinburgh, but you can only go and see him if he's walked. No, I'm not doing that. So your dogs will have their own personal sort of distance that they can focus on you from. And it might be, oh, no, look, there's Gary Barlow in 100 metres now. I'm not that fussed. 50 metres. All right, Gary, hello. Bye. But Mum's still got sausage, so no, you're all right. But then he's 10 metres away. We're going to need bouncers to keep me off at 10 metres. He's not got hope. So your dog's the same. But what you can do is the more training you do and the more value you build in being around you, it then doesn't matter how close you get to Gary Barlow, because you're always going to have something better. You've then trained it and conditioned that actually it doesn't matter, because you know that I'm going to pay out. Gary Barlow may not pay out. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah. So it's those little, you know, when we have those failures, and I don't mean kind of, in fact, it's not really a failure. It's, we didn't quite see a learning opportunity to come about. It's just gone a bit wibbly wobbly. We're not infallible. It's just gone a bit, oops. We just learn from them. So it's a learning opportunity. Right. Next time I'm in this similar situation, I know that if I haven't done any more training towards it, I need to take a sidestep, side route. I need to get my dog on the lead, or at least my naughty dog, because when I've got sort of four or five with me, then they get that little pack mentality. Woof, 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 woof. We're all going to woof. And then it's just carnage. And I'm surprised that I'm even allowed to be a dog trainer sometimes when you hear my lot coming. But it's just those little moments and building up those little fractions of training. So you think, can my dog sit while there's another dog on the other side of the road? So this is sort of moving towards the overexcitement bit a little bit. Can my dog sit while there's a dog on the other side of the road? No. No. Okay, so your dog can't sit while there's another dog on the other side of the road. But can your dog sit while there's another dog on the other side of the road and maybe you're behind a bush? So they can't quite see the dog. They know it's there. But can they just make, because you've made it a little bit harder for them, you've blocked their vision a little bit, could they sit then? Yeah, maybe, because you've got sausage or chicken or something nice. There's no point, by the way, in going out training with boring biscuits. Forget it. Okay, you need to go out with something good. Boring biscuits at home, good stuff outside. So this is what's called the 3 Ds. And those of you who's heard me mention the 3 Ds before, do I need to mention the 3 Ds? Yes. Okay, so 3 Ds. When you're thinking of training your dog in anything, even if it's a sit in the living room, 3 Ds: distance, distraction, and duration. If you think, right, okay, so my dog's in front of me. So it's not a very big distance, is it? They're just right in front of you. That's no distance at all. But what you could do is you could you increase a distraction. So maybe you've got their cookie or their ball, and you're just bouncing it like this in your hand. Can your dog stay in a sit while you're distracting them? You've made it harder. You've not moved any further away from them, but you've made it harder just by bouncing a ball or something in your hand. Or maybe you've just tried to turn in a circle so they can't see your face. That's a distraction. That's just making it a little bit harder. And there's the duration. So if you've asked your dog to sit in front of you, can they do that for 5 seconds, 10 seconds? So with these 3 Ds, which build up to an overall difficulty, really, it's the difficulty level. No matter how amazing you think a behaviour is, you can make it better by increasing and playing with the 3 Ds. So, of course, the closer to something exciting, or, you know, another dog, another person, the closer you are to that thing, the harder it's going to be for your dog to begin with. So you start off with the thing further away. So if you know they like to charge at people on a walk, make sure they can't get to the person and practice that behavior. Call them to the side. If you think they'll still run off away from the sit, clip them on the lead and just sit, feed, sit, feed, sit, feed, sit, feed. You don't want to chase that person, because I've got everything you could possibly want here. Sit, sit, hand touch, hand touch, hand touch, paw, sit, feed, blah, blah. Game gone, they've passed. And then you can move on. Okay, you practice that, practice that, practice that. Then one time, you might be able to think, oh, now, do you know what? I know they're not fussed about that dog because it's bigger or it's smaller, or that dog's yelled at it before. So I know they don't want to talk to that dog. I'm not going to put them on the lead this time. Let's just, you know, see what happens. You utilize when you judge something to be right. So I now know that if the horses are coming at the forest, I can just step to the side and I can just sprinkle treats, you know, feed, 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 feed. And my dogs aren't interested in the horses going past. If they do sort of think, oh, I'll just go and say hello to that big dog. I just go, oi, you here? They're like, oh, yeah, forgot myself for a moment. Sorry, my dog brain just kicked in for a moment. But now I remember, I'm a good boy. I'll come back. So it's just working on those simple, simple, simple behaviours. So to stop the jumping up, the easiest thing to do is teach a really good sit. But like I said to begin with, you don't need to keep saying sit, 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 sit. That's boring. You keep saying that to me, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, but if you just happen to reward when your dog happens to be in a sit or a down, well, I'm not being told to sit here right now, but I'm being rewarded because I'm getting to do something that I love. So if I didn't enjoy doing this, I wouldn't sit here for free on pancake night doing this. But because I really enjoy teaching and passing on this knowledge and helping people with their dogs, I'm just getting this natural reinforcement and reward for doing it. Does that make sense? So I'm just sitting here. So if your dog just happens to do a sit, reward them with something that they want. Good puppy, nice, good. But remember to reward them while they're in that position. So it can be a tickle under the chin. When I'm trying to get something like this, and blokes, I'm sorry, and I've not got trousers with pockets, I've got this lovely over the shoulder boulder holder that I can keep just a hand, you know. So if you've not got a pocket, there's always a pocket somewhere that you can utilize, ready to just good. Just remember to remove the garlic sausage, okay? That's from experience. If you've not got pockets, make pockets. And feed in position. Because if you say, oh, good sit, and then throw them on the other side of the room or something like that, what have they learned? It's good to get up and run away. So we don't want that in this situation. We just want to feed and reward and tickle and reward in position. Does that make sense for the jumping up? Good. Super, yeah. Any questions so far? Oh, hang on, we've got some chit-chat bits. Where's my mouse? Okay. Poppy gets excited if she sees someone she knows that she isn't interested in the treats, fine with the people she doesn't know. So distance. If she's super excited, increase the distance. So again, if you're telling me Gary Barlow's in Edinburgh, I'm less likely to walk there. But if he's only 100 metres away, I'll go there barefoot over glass. So it's about weighing up. So it's a case of, right, look, I know you're getting excited for that person. We need to go the other way now, or step behind a bush or a tree or a car, whatever you've got to hand. Because at that point, it's if she can be rewarded for going forwards with the excitement, you'll just carry on. Yeah. It'll just carry on, just carry on, just carry on. So that's where you just...
Yeah, so if it's somebody that we're going to meet, you know, that we know, yeah, and they might be a bit... Think it's a bit strange if we went behind a bush, then should I
keep
just
her on the lead.
Keep her on the lead,
keep
and then
on the lead.
Get her to sit.
Yeah,
I think on the lead she would sit.
Yeah,
but she just...
it might be after 5 or 10 minutes she's settled with the overall excitement.
Yeah,
you can let her off the lead.
Yeah,
but of course, if your friend ignores her as well, and if your friend just happens to see her in a sit, and your friend does this,
yeah,
then they can help train Poppy as well, so that it's just, oh, good girl. Yeah. Good. Yeah. It doesn't need to be this. When it comes to jumping up and overexcitement, we don't want to add too much more energy. So we don't want to, oh, clever, yes, you sat, yay, because they're just going to jump up again.
Yeah.
So we just want to be really subtle about it. Very nice. It could just even be a smile.
Yeah.
So, of course, when you've got sort of the obedience dogs and things like that in the ring at Crufts, and you know, they get to top level and you can't reward your dog because you're in the middle of a test and things like that, we come up with other ways to reward our dog as we're going around a course. So it could be a smile. It could be a wink. It could be good. You know, it can be silly little things. It could even be a clap, you know, in agility, we'll do that maybe to good. Keep going. Keep going. Just to help. Give them a reward. And of course, you condition these little things. So if you want your dog to be rewarded with a smile, you go, and give them a treat. So you can start that at home. Good, nice, nice. And then give them a treat. And then they understand that is, yeah. And that then once you've paired that with food, it becomes its own reinforcer. So they've learned that
yeah.
It doesn't need to be as exciting.
The other thing is, if we see somebody coming that we don't know, Poppy will come to me,
yeah,
and then if I've got treats, and she knows I've got treats, if she knows I haven't, then she won't do anything. But if she knows I've got them, then she'll actually walk with me round them, which obviously you do for social distancing. So is that a good thing to do?
Yes. There was only one thing that concerned me in there.
Yeah.
If I've got treats. If. Not if. Not if.
No.
You have treats.
Yeah. I mean, I always do, but occasionally we get to an end of what we've seen quite a few people where it's like, oh, I've run out.
Emergency treats. spare emergency treats in every pocket you can. I always keep some, but I know what it's like because I've run out a couple of times, and at that point when I've run out, especially, I mean, not Alan, he'd be on the lead. And Beans, when Beans knows we're going back to the car park, he has to go back on the lead early because he's like, no, I'm not going to go home yet. That one of the last, if I'm running out, one of the last treats will be Beans. Here, I'll come and have this and I can get him on the lead.
So, it's fine to carry on with treats, sort of long, you know.
I mean, it for me, it varies on the situation. Alan is still getting a lot of treats because I take them out first thing in the morning. I know he's hungry and he's doing a lot of training. But the rest of them, they tend to get good, or I kick a tennis ball or something like that, you know, or I say, go find, go sniff, go do your thing, go. So I tend to give them more life rewards and say, okay, go run, go play, go. Or I speak silly. I love my silly talk. Oh, you're so clever. You're so clever. You're so silly.
So, because like Nellie doesn't need treats to be, you know, she'll even sometimes reluctantly, she'll do it. But I was worried that Poppy was having too many treats.
No, I mean, it, unless she starts to put on weight, and then you can always use her food. And feed her food to her as you're going around on your walk. But when it comes to training, I want to be on it.
Yeah.
Until I've got a behaviour that I want, I'm there. I'm always got treats on me. And if I haven't, then I realise I'm heading off and I've not got any treats. And even if I'm not getting in my van, I'll go home, because I know that if my dogs do something suddenly amazing, like they started, all five of them or something, started chasing a deer, and then I called them and they all came back off that deer, I need to tell them that, oh my God, we are having a party. And just my hugs and love, I want to make sure that I give them even more. So I always go out with something that they want, but I have to make sure it is something that they want. So I can't go out. I can't take fish and cheese, because if I'm going out with Beans, because Beans does not like fish and cheese. So if I take some salmon treats and cheese and I try and say, good boy, here, I have this, he'll go, ugh. And I've not rewarded him because he thinks that's gross, as weird as it is. Now, if I have a bit of melon, he'd think he'd won the lottery. Okay, so he's got a screw loose, obviously. But if you learn what your dogs like, it makes things very, very different.
Well, that's good. I just thought I was, you know, needing to, you know, phase out the treats, but
no, actually, just utilize them when you really need them. So if she's done something good, oh, good girl, that's clever. It might not need a treat because you're past that stage. But when you're teaching a new behavior or trying to fix something, lay it on, because I want that to. And then once it's become the norm, look, there's that thing, Mum. And it's been conditioned to come back to Mum for whatever reason. Then you can start fading it out a bit. But until you've got that behaviour, don't stop with the reinforcements and the rewards. You've got to keep that there until it's become a habit.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, all my dogs are really good now. I can do my pup, 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 and they'll be beside me and they can let whatever it is go past. But I spent years conditioning that. So even if I were to run out of treats, I know that I've still got that in my arsenal. I just go home and practice it a couple of times. Yeah, pop, 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 and throw some treats across the living room just to rebuild it in. Because, you know, again, these things do just
happen. That's really useful. That's good.
Yeah. But now until something, once you've start to, you get that, you know, think, hang on a minute, I can count on that like 90% of the time now. What you could do is you could split your treats. So you've got some good stuff and some medium stuff, you know, and then just give her the really good stuff if it was a really good attempt, and the medium stuff if it was just a regular attempt.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can just gradually, you know, just whittle it down. So you will be able to whittle it down, but not until you've got the behaviour.
Yeah.
Right. So Richard says, our dog knows not to jump at us. He's recall good, but if we perhaps meet a friend out and about, a stranger in close proximity, he jumps because he's been fussed and rewarded by others when he was a pup. I've tried so hard to ask people to ignore him until all 4 feet on the ground, but it doesn't always work so well. We got him a few days before first lockdown, so he's less socialisation with a lot of people. I feel you. And gets excited whenever there are lots of people around because he thinks they're there to see him. Yeah. So very similar to what I was just saying about Ali and Poppy. It's that whole, because they've been able to do it, they will carry on. So if people are not going to help you and ignore your dog when they've got four paws on the ground, you don't go near those people because they're not your friends. They're not there to help you with your dog. They don't care. And you need to be able to, you need to be able to not let him have that little bit of hope that maybe this time they're going to talk to him. And it's really hard when they're puppies, because we come up, talk to me, yay, which is great.
You've got a lot of the basic fundamentals of what you're talking about with the treating and working out what the high value treats and rewarding them for the good behavior, but it's obviously something that's ingrained in cockapoos as well, the bouncing.
Oh, yes, it really is.
Yeah, he'll do it when he's on the lead still, and I don't really want to be yanking him away from the people.
So if you increase that distance
training humans from people. Dogs, I think.
Sorry?
It seems to be training the humans more than the dogs.
They will do. The cockapoos will train you way better than you can train. They are way too smart.
Oh, sorry, I meant in terms of training strangers and friends.
Yeah, they'll train.
From the point of view rather than the dog's point of view.
Yeah, they will train. Have you ever seen Jurassic Park?
Yes.
The first one.
Yep.
And the raptors and how they test the fence and get out and they work together and they figure everybody out.
Yeah.
That's cockapoos. Okay. They test. Can I get the human here, 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 here? Cockapoos have got it all worked out. Okay. Cockapoos will take over the world. So they you've got to be right on those cockapoos.
I mean, he's brilliant at home. He's
I don't doubt that for a second.
He's been very responsive to the training. It's just the
very clever.
Lockdown and trying to get more people around. That.
Yeah, yeah, and Alan's very similar. So he was a first lockdown baby, a little bit older probably because he was allowed out the day we got locked down.
Yeah.
And although he's kind of the other way, he's like, I want you to go away now. But once he's there with the people and he's like, oh, yeah, hello, yeah, I'm still going to bark at you a bit, but if you've got a cookie or something, yeah, he's just getting screw loose. There's a theme here with my dogs. what I would do with your cockapoo, and it is a cockapoo thing. It really, really is. And does your cockapoo do like the box turn, jump up at the knee and then jump off? Does it do that?
No.
Or does it just jump up?
No, it's just people standing up. Yeah, I mean, he knows not to jump up, but that's the most to sort of stop that straight
it's
away.
It's just the strangers, and, is it?
The strangers, because these people have gone, oh, it's a puppy.
Yeah, and asked him exactly. And it's so what's he learned? He's learned, I can't do it to mum and dad.
Yeah, but you can do it to somebody else. Yeah.
Strangers outside, that's fair game. So because he's been practicing this for a little bit longer, what I'd be doing is increasing that distance. So thinking about your 3Ds.
Yeah.
So really building value. So he's a little bit older now. So hopefully not as many people want to say, you cooey, cooey. So what you can maybe do is just step to the side. If he's got a really good recall, just start with treats on the floor or straight into his mouth while he's in a lovely sit. Sit with daddy, just stay with dad. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have a quick hello while they're walking past. Oh, yeah, how are you? Yeah, good. Yeah. Just to be social. But at the end of the day, what you don't want is, God forbid, you get one of those people. You know those, you all know who those people are. But if you got one of those people at the woods that are just out for, they're miserable people. They can actually report your dog for jumping up and you can be visited for a dog jumping up at somebody else. If anybody even thinks or feels threatened that your dog might do something, you can be reported. So, and I mean, these are, you know, it's more often than not, the authorities are going to go, it looked at you. Right. But they've still got to follow that up. So you don't want to be at the end of some Facebook campaign where somebody's gone, I was at the woods today. And you're just like, well, why were you in the woods in your Gucci suit? Don't, you know, but there's always going to be that minute amount of people that make you feel this big for being out and enjoying some time with your dog.
Yeah.
So the easiest.
I've certainly done training with him where he's, you know, basically what you're just saying, getting to see him walking past. I think it's just a matter of just reinforcing it.
That's it. Going out with some extra yummies, you know, real yummy, yummy good stuff. Yeah. And just to the side so that being with you becomes a bit more valuable. So sits and hand touches will really help. The hand touches, purely because it helps keep their focus on a visual point at you.
Yep.
So it can be hand touch and the treat from another hand. And that can all still be done in a sit. So that while they're sitting, they're doing hand touch treat from the other side, hand touch treat from the other side. So that's kind of my favorite, because it's almost like they've got a dispense button for a treat. Yeah, another treat, please. Another treat, please. So that's where, when I know that there's something really exciting and I want to keep their focus, hand touch. So that's what you'd do to me if Gary Barlow was around. You'd hold a £50 note in your hand and I'd be like, I mean, it would have to be more than a £50 note if it was Gary Barlow, but you know, yeah. you get the idea. That's what you'd need to do. It would need to be a wad of £50 notes, enough £50 notes that I could then afford Gary Barlow to come and give me a show on my own. That would do.
Well, thanks so much, Joe. I've got to run now because I've got an online quiz to do. I've got to have pancakes before that.
Oh, I know. I'm desperate for my pancakes. I know. I thought this would only be half an hour, but you know me, I digress. But lovely to meet you. And
there he is.
Hello. Hello, little cockapoo. Hello, Trouble. What's his name?
His name's Arlo.
Arlo. Oh, nice to meet you, Arlo.
He's more interested in the cat at the moment. Great. Thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
So when it comes to overexcitement, you jumping up, you've got your nice sit, you're down, hand touch just for some focus. But if it's overexcitement, say at home or out and about, aside from your hand touch, what you can do is just work on a settle. And now, of course, up at the woods, you're not going to have a settle blanket. But if, again, you've just been working on your hand touch on a settle blanket, you've got that, those little ties together. Oh, hang on a minute. Yeah, that brings me back down. So to help with your overexcitement, whether you're out and about, if you're at home and they're overexcited because somebody's playing too much, you're getting overexcited, rolling around on the floor, I want you to start teaching your settle, because that's going to build a really good value. And just, oh, Ali, you know how well this has worked. Are you still doing your settle?
Yeah, we're still working on it. She'll do it if she's in the mood for it.
In the mood for it. You have a...
The duration, you know, trying to get the duration.
The duration's the harder one. Yeah, the duration's the harder one.
Yeah.
I mean, you keep it up, because when I went before the last lockdown and I was last over at yours, and you were able to get to the other side of the room. So
she does an excellent reversing across the room.
Oh, does she, to get on her blanket? Perfect. Perfect.
It's good.
So at home, for overexcitement, I want you to work on a settle. That's the simplest thing, because then you can say, oh, where's your blanket? Oh, here. Same as me sitting in this chair. Am I going to move if random things just fall from heaven? No, I'm not going to move. But of course, you're not going to have a settle blanket out in the woods. So what can you do? What naturally calms down dogs is sniffing. And every dog loves a good sniff. That is how they see the world. Okay, so this is where we get a bit muddled with our dogs, is that we see something. Oh, look at that. Dogs smell stuff. The dogs, first and foremost, see the world through their nose. So remember that they don't think, oh, look at that, I've just seen that, I want to explore it. They smelt it before they saw it, and that's what they're going to go for. So what you need to do is, if you just want them to, maybe you can't get them in a sit or something exciting going around, sprinkle treats on the floor around your feet. Let them snuffle the treats. If they still can't snuffle because of whatever it is around, you know that thing is too close. That Gary Barlow's too close, that they can't focus. No, he's right there. He's right there. I can't. So you come back, you step further off the path, go down another track. Do your hand touches and things like that. So when it comes to the overexcitement, settles and sniffing. Okay, so you're just actually teaching them, yeah, I can relax on this blanket, settle, get on this blanket, Cookie just appears. On the blanket, Cookie just appears. Okay, and you get really good at throwing from distances. Okay, so when my dogs are laying and I'm playing settle, I aim between their two front feet when they're laying down like that with their head. So it's like two goalposts. I will aim at their chest and their two feet. So you can actually get quite good. And you can just make it a game for yourself. Oh, yeah, 10 points. Got it. Yeah. Ooh. And they're not going to want to move from that point. But of course, again, out and about, I've not got my settle mat. I might have at the pub and the cafe if we ever get to go again. I'll take a settle mat with me. But out and about, I can't. So I get them to sniff. because sniffing is very, very calming. So is licking as well. So again, if your dog's getting a bit overexcited at home and you've got a licky mat and it's due dinner time and you can get them to do some licking, licking is very calming as well. So sniffing and licking are great for when your dog's got a bit overexcited and you maybe need to bring them back down. So it's either, you know, settle and have a little nap, just relax, settle on your blanket and have a chewy, go and do some sniffing in the garden, sniff around here, or here's a licky mat. So that's how you can really work on the overexcitement side of things. If you've got a young puppy and they're overexcited, they could be overtired. So never forget that, because obviously Jane, you've got a puppy. Ali, she's a bit older. And Rachel, you've got a puppy. What do you mean my internet connection's unstable? I highly doubt that. How dare you? Sally, I don't know what puppy you've got. Nicole, I don't know how old your dog is. So 16 months, also a little bit older, so they're not going to get to that overtired crazy puppy stage. So when they're turning into these vile hyperactive, you know, witching hour craziness, nap, time out, because no amount of calming or anything, they're overtired and they need a nap. They need at least sort of 16 hours sleep a day. So do I, in fairness. So, you know, the more sleep you can give those young puppies, that's when they've got to that overexcited stage. It's actually not overexcitement, it's overtiredness, and they can't. They're like, no, I need a timeout. Go and give them a timeout. They might scream for 2 minutes, give them a Kong, and then you'll probably find out they've fallen asleep with a Kong in their mouth. So that's what you want to do for the overexcited puppies. Hang on, I don't know if I got through. Right. Nicole, our dog freezes. Our dog freezes when he sees another dog, then jumps in excitement and meet them and once they are close enough. Try to reward with treats to get him to walk on, but no. So chances are that with a treat, because he's way more excited with the other dogs close by, Nicole, he can't even see those treats. That's it. Yeah. So if, and of course, he might just eat them like this, but he's not really eating them. Again, a bit like me with Jaffa cakes. I just eat them and they're just going in. I don't actually realize I'm eating them. And then before I know it, I've full mooned them all and they've gone. So it's very much like, oh, what happened? And I've got an empty packet of Jaffa cakes and some regret. So it's a bit like that. So there's kind of, I wouldn't worry about the treats because the arousal point is too close.
Yeah, I realised actually that they weren't really working. So I don't treat him anymore to try and distract him. I think I find there's so many dogs wherever we go to walk. It's quite difficult to, often obviously they'll be coming towards you and he's seen them before I have or smelt them. And
now what might one of my webinars that I've done, I want to say it's the ban the bark one.
Okay.
There's a bit in that one about triggers. So because what's going to happen, and I'll go for it very, very basically because I've had you all on long enough, but go and watch, I'm sure it's the ban the bark one. I'll quickly go and check. Hang on. Talk amongst yourself for a second, just so I know you've got the right one. And what it is, if I were to go along the street and why am I doing that? That's not helpful, Jo, silly woman. If I was to go along the street and unless you take that crazy person, you might know, but I happen to run into Jason Orange. I go, oh, this is a bit exciting. I like that. That was good. And I get a little bit excited. But then I go further down the street and then there's Howard Donald. And so now I've seen two members of Take That. So I've seen one after the other. No, it's not the barking one. Oh, you know what? I bet it was the paid one. Oh, or was it loose lead walking?
I remember
you. Oh, we're working on loose lead walking.
Let's try that one. So of course, and then I go further down the street, and then there's another member of Gary, you know, take that. And it's not that one either. So after each, I'm never going to find it. I've got a feeling actually it might very well have been on a paid one. Then, okay. I'm just looking at the recall one just very quickly. No, it must have been on a paid one, the triggers. So very, very, very briefly. Oh, where is everybody gone? Right there. So if I'm walking along the street and there's Jason Orange, I'm like, oh yeah, look, I got a selfie. You know, I'm excited. Then I get a bit further along and then there's Howard. Oh my God, that's two members of tech. So I've got a little bit more excited. And then it's Mark Owen. I've seen all three. And at this point, there's no amount of tenor lady that's going to help me. I'm done. But then it's Robbie and then Gary. And of course, at this point, I've just had the best day ever. I am high as a kite and I'm off. Flying unicorns couldn't bring me, you know, I'd be done. So, of course, if you're going along on the walk and you say, oh, there's Bertie, oh, I like Bertie, and I've got all tail waggy and I've got silly, and then you've got further, oh, it's Archie, and the further you get along, the more excited he's got. What he's going to do is those little excitement triggers, and these triggers can be good or bad, so I don't want to get too, but if you just think, how excited has he got on this walk? Have we seen one dog or five dogs? And each one, he's just got a little bit more. You're going to get to a point. There's going to be a point where that's it.
Yeah.
We have had E numbers. We have had everything and we are gone. And if you get to that point, no valid learning can take place until we're back down. So if you know that three dogs and he's done, you may don't even bother trying training. You forget it because that's it. He's crossed his little threshold and he is on planet Mars or something like that. He's gone. So when they get all these level of excitements, the same as me with, you know, you go through Tesco's, oh, look, Jabba Cake's on sale. Oh, look at this on sale. And you have a really good shopping day. You know, when you get those good shopping days and everything you want, just when you, oh, yes. It's kind of a bit like that. So once he's crossed that, he's got to his own little level. And each dog's got their own little level of what excites them. You know, they might get excited for one dog, but another dog might get them triple excited. So it could be that he might see three, four, five dogs that are a little bit exciting, but it could be two really exciting dogs that push him over the edge instead of the five. Once you start to realise, hang on a minute, no, he's left the building. No valid learning can take place. No valid, you're kind of gone. Now you've got half a chance. If you maybe go to the side, don't see any more dogs, do some sniffing, maybe do some calm hand touch, paw, gentle. And then just keep him away from other dogs. You might be able to get him back down so that you can finish your walk calmly. But chances are he's got to the, oh my God, who's next? Who's next? Because if Freddie Mercury's coming back, I just can't cope, sort of thing. So that's probably what's happening, that he's getting more and more and more excited after each dog. And the more and more excited they get when they get to this threshold and they cross it.
Why does he freeze? I don't really know how to interpret that.
That could just be part of his what's called a predatory motor pattern. So that could be, does he freeze and sort of stare like that?
He goes really low. I mean, he's not, he doesn't actually get too excited, but he goes really low down on the ground. He looks terrified, but he actually loves other dogs.
No, I reckon, what is he, cockapoo?
Yeah. How did you guess?
50-50, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, 50% minimum of my work is cockapoos.
He's pretty good, to be fair. He's quite good.
Cockapoos keep me in business. it's going to be part of its predatory motor pattern, which is a technical term for it's what dogs do. You know, so part of what they do is when they see something and they're going to want to stalk it.
Right.
Hunt it, chase it, catch it.
Yeah.
And depending on your dog's breeding and what they enjoy and everything like that. Now, obviously, cockers and poos aren't necessarily known for having that stalk. Jane, with your collie, you may start to see that stalk come out a little bit more because it's part of that herding a little bit more. But of course, every dog would have had to stalk some prey and play. And it's all part of play. And each dog plays differently. So my two younger dogs, they will do that almighty stare off.
Yeah. Until that's probably similar to that ours.
Yeah, and it's just who blinks first? It's like this epic game of chicken. And then they just go. So it's not a freeze that I'd need to see it and see some context. But if he then goes off, does he then run off and play?
Then he's suddenly, I'd always say to people, he is like quite friendly, but then he will run to sort of say hello to the other dog. It's quite difficult. I do try to hold him back, but then I think me yanking him back, that's why I tried to reward it with treats to try and stop the behaviour, but it didn't work.
No, it won't work. At all. Because what's in it for dog? Dog gets to go see friends.
Well, he gets to go and see someone to play. And he does love other dogs.
Yeah.
And he's very friendly and he has a great time. And I also think he needs to interact, right, with other dogs.
So yes and no. Some people don't want to say hi. Some people get very, very cross and very upset about it. So pick your battles.
Yeah, always check with people.
Yeah, always check.
Speaking to them, because he's frozen. You see, we can't walk. So obviously the people are coming towards us. And he literally, apart from me pulling him and his harness would come over his head.
Yeah, no, don't do
that. We literally stay and I just stop now with him.
So the best thing you can do is, just sit. You sit, stand and just stay there and wait for the other person to go.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, so don't allow him. I wouldn't allow him to go and charge and say hello.
Okay.
Because, of course, if he can do it, it will just continue. Which is, to a certain extent, unless you're concerned that you're going to get your shoulder yanked out. He's on a harness, so if he does pull, at least his weight's distributed a little bit. It's not ideal. But if he can't then get that following on reward, you can then start to build on different behaviours like hand touch. And move being further away. But it's getting the cooperation of other dog walkers and saying that, not today, actually. Not, we just, lie if need be. Say, no, look, he's really been hurting my shoulder now. I need to, you make up what's to suit you, really. And I lie all the time and say, oh, no, they're not,
not friendly.
No, and it's really, it's me. I don't want to talk to you. Just like, sorry, I'll keep you busy. You've got to think about what you want and how you'd want your dog to be, your dog at the end of the day. I try not to let my dogs go and run up to another dog unless, again, I know that they meet them all the time, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But when I've got four or five with me, and all right, Alan can't because he's on the lead, but they're all charging up to another little dog, like say it's like a little Cavapoo or something like that. That's four balls of fluff, they're not so fluffy now, I've had them all clipped, but just charging at them. And that's not fair on that dog when I've got so many. So I let them kind of go one at a time. So yeah, pop, pop, pop. Okay, you go. So that at least then one's been, they've sniffed, they don't need to say hello anymore and they've gone off. So I try to be as polite as possible. Sometimes it's just not possible because at the end of the day, they are animals. They do think for themselves. They're quite capable of doing stuff for themselves. So that's why I always say, what's in it for dog? Because they're going to do what they're going to get out of it. That's their MO. If I do that, I get this. They learn by consequences. So if they get a good consequence, that behavior will continue. If they get a consequence that they're not fussed about, probably won't do the behavior because it's not been good enough for them.
Yeah.
So it's, I went to a Britney Spears concert once, so it didn't do it for me, so I didn't go again. It's what they learn. Is it worth doing? No, you're all right. I can miss that one. I don't need to. So that's how to work it. And if it's something you want, then stick with it. But the freezing, that sounds to me just all part of his play stand, his prep for play. That's his little
secret. Yeah, he's always done it since he was young and it's just continued. The behaviour has stayed basically exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's it's, you know, it's his thing, I guess, yeah, that he does.
That's the only one time when I've had Alan off the lead previously, that's when I knew he wasn't going to be a plonker, is when he went into his crouch. And, mm-hmm. and that's when, for whatever reason, he decided, I don't need to worry about that person and the dog. They're playworthy. So whatever he sensed at X distance, which is not, I can't distinguish what this one in 20 dogs would be any different. Mm. In fact, it's not dogs, it's people. He's fine with other dogs. But why this particular person didn't bother him, he thought, no, it's all right, I can do my stalk game with this dog. It's going to be fine. That's the one and only time I knew he wasn't going to do his barrage of barking at somebody, because he was too focused and this dog looked like they were going to play with him. And he wasn't fussed about the owner at that point. He wouldn't have cared, because
also, it's more of a play thing rather than a fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I yeah. I mean,
generally, that's not, because I've not seen any videos. I don't really know the context or anything, but it sounds like it's just part of that predatory motor pattern. It's just part of the, well, if I do this and I get low and I stare, then that's telling the other dog, I'm ready. Do you want to play? And the other dog might say, no, you're all right, I'm going away.
And then he will ignore them, actually. Yeah. And he will stay with us. Yeah, so he obviously, he reads different dogs very differently.
Yeah. So if that other dog just disengages, saying, no, you're all right, I don't want to talk to you. So look, if he disengages as well, brilliant. Yeah. It's, if that other dog's disengaged and he still goes and body slams them or something, that's when you've got a problem. No,
I wouldn't let him be that close. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
No problem. Lyra has all of a sudden decided that trees are exciting and bounces around, sprints around, barks at them. Been fine for 3 weeks, and suddenly Sunday onwards she goes zoomies and crazy, even barking at the trees at 5 a.m, 11 p.m, and any time of day. Suggestions, over excitement during the quiet hours. We've tried getting her straight out. Is this at your house with the trees?
Yes. Yeah. So our house is attached to a show home. So thankfully we don't have any neighbours yet, but we do have neighbours around us. So we're conscious of the volume levels when she's outside. She's decided all of a sudden, oh, there's trees. Okay. And she does this.
How old is she?
She is now 14 weeks. So everything's new to her. Mm. But she does the same thing as your dog, Nicole, where she just all of a sudden sits there, goes quiet, butt goes up, head goes down, and it's just a countdown in my head, right, how long is it going to be until the barking starts, and she bounces forwards, back, come and get me. I'm like, oh, Jesus, at 5 a.m, and have to take her in onto the puppy pads instead.
Yeah.
Just to avoid...
Outside, in the garden, pee breaks on the lead.
Yeah, okay.
Simple as that. Because if she can practice that behavior, and she's a collie.
Yeah.
So what you don't want with her, part of that again is going to be her natural herding instinct. Mm. It could be that just one day you may not have even spotted it. There could have been a bird by a tree.
Squirrel.
Got to run, and that bird.
Oh, squirrels.
Yeah. So it could be something really random like that. And because she enjoyed it, all she's done is she's put into context, well, last time I was near a tree, I got to do this fun thing. And then it's just escalated. So what you don't want a collie doing is practicing any behaviours like that, because it can become an obsession.
Perfect.
Okay, a bit like me and Jaffa Cakes and Gary Barlow. It's incessant and it will run your life. So stop it right now. No more free access in the garden unless you're out there with her doing training or something. You can certainly use that as a good excuse to do some recall practice. So no, you don't go near the tree. Yeah, pop, 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 pop. You come do a hand touch paw, and just redirect her to something that's more constructive. Don't let her do it. So unfortunately, go out with her so she can't practice it. I wouldn't say something could have worried her and scared her. She's, you know, in her fear period. Yeah. So something could have scared her and gone, rah, and she's now on the defensive to say, last time I was near this tree, a scary bird flew at me, so I'm going to just bark now so that the bird doesn't come near me this time. So it could be a variety of things. And even if you were watching your puppy at every interaction they had, you're never going to maybe think, actually, that might have caused a bit of a problem. Because what can be completely random, you know, it could just be a bird flying overhead, could have been a big deal to them at that very moment. you know, so
when we do see birds kind of flying over, she acknowledges it, but she just sits there and watches. I'll treat her just to say, well done, you noticed it, you didn't do anything.
That's it. You want a reward for not doing something. Well, instead, she is doing something, she's doing something you'd like her to do. So what I always tend to do is when I don't notice my dogs, I reward them, because that's when I know it's what I call rewarding my invisible behaviors, because they're the behaviors that I actually want. If they're not following me around and I'm tripping up them all the time, if they're just sitting on a bed to the side, I'll throw them a cookie. If I reward invisible behaviors, because they're the things that I actually need to just get on with my daily life. I don't need 4 or 5 dogs under my feet tripping up all the time. So I tend to do, if you've not done something, I'm going to reward you for not doing that.
We'll try that then, because I do that with the cat, because our cat has decided, Lyra's out of the crate. Hello. I'm going to come downstairs and investigate. And literally, as soon as they lock eyes, that butt goes up, head goes down, and she's thinking, can I play with you? Can I play with you now? Let's go, let's go.
Yeah, of course, cats and dogs are very different.
No, Biscuit's like, no, don't even bother. Don't even try. And Lyra will go crazy. Biscuit goes launched upstairs straight away.
Yeah, and of course, that comes into that chase.
That's it.
I've done the chase. That, on a base level, way down in her brain and genes and everything. It's an innate reward. It's just great. And she doesn't know why, but her endorphins and her brain's kicking and going, oh my God, this is brilliant. Yes. You know, so that's what it is. It's on that absolute what's in it for dog.
Yeah. If you can hear the barking, that's her in the garden right now at the tree.
At the tree. So of course she's practicing a behavior. You don't want it. So
I'll be telling my partner straight away, he's trying to whistle her.
Get out there, and it will be, again, one of my free webinars, probably Recall, I think it is. Go on the Recall one, and that's got Positive Interrupter. That's what you need for that. Start training a Positive Interrupter, and that one will sort you out on that one. She's not in the garden when she's in the garden off lead.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Look, I've had you on here for like forever. I thought I'm just quickly half an hour, I'll be done. Yeah, half an hour. No, I've never done. You can tell I like what I do.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll look up some of the webinars and.
Yeah, please do. And if you're happy, go and leave me like a Trustpilot or a Google review, because then more people will find me and realise how good the online stuff really is. I don't need to be there to give you the hints and tips that you need for training and everything like that. So yeah, the more the merrier that can come in and join.
Lovely. That's lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. You take care, everyone. Bye. See you later. Bye.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or want to get in touch, then visit my website, www.pause-itivity.co.uk. There's some additional notes in the show details for you if you wish. Take care, and I'll see you soon.